Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Have you come ready to worship today? I trust that you have. Those of you joining us online, welcome to you also. Just a very quick note ahead of time, you're going to need the hymn book up front of you up until the message time today. So make sure you have that right up front. We're going to be singing a lot today out of our hymnal, so please have that close at hand. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We are coming into the presence of the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who has redeemed our eternal souls unto glory, the one who is preparing a place for us even now, and his name is Jesus the Christ. And we worship and we glorify and we exalt him this day. With hymnal in hand, turn with me to number 8, if you will. For those of you joining us at home, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. So if you have a home hymnal and you hear the organ playing, go ahead and sing in the comfort of your own home along with us. Right now, number 8 in our hymnal. Turn with me there, if you will. Please stand. Let's worship. Let's praise the Lord. And if you do have life and you do have breath, and I know you do because you're here today and I hear you singing, we are the ones who bring our praises before him. Join me, if you will, now in your hymnal. Go over to number 509. That is a responsive reading. And we're going to read this together. It comes from various portions of Scripture, Old and New Testament alike. I'll begin by reading where it says worship leader, and you will respond where it says people. Those of you joining us at home will be reading Old and New Testament passages, so listen along as you hear God's word being read. The word of God goes like this. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And we await that grand and glorious day and the completion of our salvation, and that is our ultimate sanctification or our glorification. And we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. O Lord, our Lord, our gracious, ever gracious Redeemer and King. O Lord, thank you for loving us so. Thank you for calling us to be your own, children of the Most High God. Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his obedience to your word. We thank you for the joy that was set before him, went to the cross, died on our behalf, took up the penalty of that which once separated us from you, and he became our sin bearer, so that today we are a people declared righteous in the sight of a holy God. O Lord, today receive the worship of the saints. We are mindful that the very breath that we have, the very life that we have this hour, with it we will praise your name. We will lift it on high. We will exalt it. O Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving unto us a Redeemer whom we can worship and we can praise this day. Lord, this day, receive the worship of the saints. And we ask these things with thankful hearts. We ask these things in faith. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends. Hey, remain standing with me if you will. Let's go over to number 229 in your hymnal. 229. And when you have found it, remain standing with me. 229, not 299. 229, and for those of you joining us at home, we are singing the hymn entitled, Our God Reigns. It has three verses. Let's sing them all. Let's praise his name. Thank you. Does indeed. You may be seated, friends. And not only does he reign this very moment, but this very God whom we worship today, whose name is Jesus, this very same God is returning. He reigns and he will return. All right, hey, take a look at your order of service, and what we're going to be doing next is we're going to be sharing with one another maybe a text of scripture that you have been in this week, that you've come across. Maybe it's an old favorite of yours. Maybe it's something new you came across this week. Maybe it's part of your devotional reading. Somehow, some way in which the Lord spoke to your heart this week. Maybe it was this morning. Let's share with one another. Let's encourage each other with the truth of God's word. And along with that, we'll also make this a time of testimony. I remember last time we did this about a month ago. I don't know if we got any scripture passage. I think they were all testimonies. And that's okay, too. If that's the case, so be it. We want to give praise to our Lord. So, that being said, the toughest one, always the first one. Let me pull this one out of you this morning. Who would like to? Heather, thank you, dear. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A text of scripture, a testimony to share.
I'm just going to give my old favorite, Psalm 100. And the reason for this one is I went to the home where Mom is yesterday and brought my flute, and it's really amazing what you can do with music at a nursing home. And when you start playing old hymns, they just love it. And we would just let them pick what they wanted, and we just played, and it was really a blessing. So shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. If you're at all interested, first Sunday in the month of November, the message comes from Psalm 100. November, we'll be studying the Thanksgiving Psalms. Already, Heather, thank you, dear. Another one, a text of scripture, a word of testimony. We exalt the name of Jesus Christ today. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Don't make me put a microphone in front of you now, okay? Don't make me choose for you. Bob, all righty. I can always depend upon you, my friend. There you go.
I was waiting, trying to give somebody else a chance. Boys, oh boys. You know, the Lord is so good. I was listening to Word Radio this week, if you believe it. And the gentleman on there, I did not hear his sermon. So I went home and read John 6 and Romans 8, which is what he referenced toward the end of his sermon. And I tell you, what a blessing it was, just right out of the blue, to read about how we can depend upon Jesus and know where we're going. But as I was reading it, I thought this. I didn't pick the scripture. Somebody just mentioned a scripture. And when I read it, the inspiration was so strong and so encouraging. How can you not pick up a scripture and read it and find Jesus? What a blessing it is. Love the Lord today.
Friend, Amanda, you have one, dear? Alrighty.
So I have been in Romans, and if you've ever read Romans and think you're doing great, got some other news for you. So reading through, wow, just the very clear, just that going through Gentile, Jew, if you think that you're good obeying the law, well, he just goes through it over and over again. And if you look at, let's see, we're in Romans 3:21. to sum it up. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by the faith. And so, friends, I have lots of dear friends who are Catholic and part of the Catholic Church. And so this past week I have just been praying as they go through the different feasts and the different saints that they worship and the rosary and Mary, and really has been on my heart to really be praying about works, and that we know that the Lord puts good works on our heart, but that works are not the way to heaven. That faith in Jesus Christ alone, by his grace alone. So that's where I've been.
Amen. Amanda, thank you, dear. All right. The book of Romans. Romans and Hebrews, those are two major bookends in the New Testament. I don't know if you remember, years ago we did a study of the book of Romans, a lot of years ago. Romans 1, 2, and 3, it was sin. Romans 3, 4, and 5, salvation. Romans 6, 7, and 8, our sanctification. Romans 9, 10, and 11, God's sovereignty. Romans 12 through 16, our service unto the Lord. It is broken up nice and neat like that. But Amanda was reading from that portion of chapter 3 that talked about sin. But as you keep on reading, it talks about our salvation. Alrighty, Bob, you were talking, you were listening to the radio. If I did not know where to tune to, what stations might they be on the dial? Sir, would you kindly tell me?
Predominantly 88.7.
88.7, alrighty. 88.7 on the dial. If you're dial hopping this week, land on 88.7. Alrighty. Hey, folks, one more maybe? One more? A text of scripture, a testimony. All right, Craig?
I want to praise God for his Holy Spirit working through myself and in the progression of reading Ephesians 3, verse 20. It's a scripture that I had read in the past, but praise God for working, the Holy Spirit working through me to be encouraged by it and get a deeper understanding of it. And it was because of the study group, I had an opportunity to do that. So praise God for how he works through you and grow over time as you reread scripture.
So. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being available unto the Lord, Craig. Thank you, friend. Was there another one? Did I see another one out of the corner of my eye over here? Gil?
I think we all know that things are, it's a tough world, and there's always things that concern us. And I turn to the Psalms, and Psalm 97, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad." And Psalm 99, verse 1, "The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he." Our God reigns. Thanks for singing that this morning.
Amen. Gil, thank you. Thank you for the reminder again. There is one in glory who's in charge, isn't he? He's large and in charge. Amen. His name is Jesus. Would you find your hymnal with me again this morning? And we're going to be utilizing our hymnal. Actually, I don't need this anymore. And we're going to do this because this has, seems to have been, this is Jennifer's idea, seems to have hit a chord with the congregation. Jennifer, I guess the feedback is you folks like doing this. So we're going to be found in our hymnal, but we're going to be doing Name That Hymn. So Jennifer has selected three hymns for us to sing. She's going to play on the organ first few notes of the hymn, and I'm going to do my best to scan the congregation and to see the first hand that goes up. If I err, please forgive me. I'll try to look upstairs also. And if you think you know it, raise your hand, and I'll call on you, and you can tell me what you think that hymn is. If you are correct, we will sing that hymn if you would like to. If you would like to sing another hymn, we'll sing what you choose. But for right now, and I almost gave it away. I almost just read it. Jennifer, can we hear the first few notes of the first hymn for the morning? Listen now. Ron? There shall be showers of blessing. It's 289 in our hymnal. You want to sing that one, Ron, or do you want to sing another? Bless you. All righty. For those of you here today with a hymnal in hand, it is 289. For those of you joining us at home, the hymn is entitled, There Should Be Showers of Blessing. Let's see, Ron, are there any particular verses you'd like to sing there? One, three, seven. Okay. How about if we go with one and three then? We'll forego seven and nine this time around. All right, folks, it's 289. Let's do first and third verse that we find there. Let's sing. And it's all right, Jennifer, let's hear those opening notes. Ed, I can't call on you again. That's part of the rules. That's part of the rules. David? Wow, I got an aggressive audience up there. I didn't hear you. That's it. It is entitled Pass It On. All right. Did you want to sing it? Did you want to sing it? All righty. It's number 309. For those of you who can't see what I can see, I just about had the entire upstairs descend upon me aggressively. But it's number 309 in our hymnal, Pass It On. It's our last one this morning. Let's sing them all. Amen. Thank you for that good singing. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time? We prepare to worship our Lord in the bringing forth of our gifts. We'll pray together. We'll thank the Lord. And we'll worship Him in this very, very tangible way. Pray with me, if you will. Gracious Lord, we have been reading of, we have been singing of, the greatness of our salvation and the message that is to be shared and passed on and extended to others, Lord. Thank you that you have visited us in your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the working and the power of your Holy Spirit. As you wooed us unto yourself, you opened up once blind eyes, you opened up once deaf ears. And you opened up once hardened hearts. And you sent Jesus in. Lord, thank you for so great a salvation. In accordance to your word and what you have told us in Scripture, we will now take up this offering that has been set aside, that which we have prayed about and decided upon. And we will give to you now, Lord. We're going to do so with thanksgiving. We're going to do so with joy. We're going to do so with hilarious joy, as your word tells us. Lord, we do not do this begrudgingly or tight-fisted. But Lord, we give to you with glad hearts. It is our act of worship. Receive the gifts of the saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, with God's word before you, would you join me this morning in Psalm 72? Let me give you a little heads up as to where we're going in the weeks and the months that are before us. Today we are in, we're in Psalm 72. We have been studying through the summer months, just a very brief series on the royal psalms. Many of the royal psalms are also messianic psalms. They speak of the king. They're about royalty. They speak of the king who was in Jerusalem at that time. But there are parts of many of the royal psalms that had a messianic outlook, meaning they would be fulfilled perfectly and in the very fullest sense, in Jesus, in King Jesus, when he comes again. Royal Psalms, Messianic Psalms. Next month, we're going to be sharing in our 75th annual Missions Conference. We've been doing this for 75 years. Missions is at the very heart of who we are and what we do here at True Memorial. We've been doing this for a long time. The New Testament is a missions document in so many different ways. The book of Acts, the story of the word going out through Paul, through Peter, churches being started. We have letters to many of these churches in the New Testament. Then in the month of November, I thought we could spend 4 weeks looking at, remaining in the Psalms, but looking at thanksgiving psalms or praise psalms. Sometimes they're called declarative praise psalms, thanksgiving psalms. And I thought, well, as we come into the Thanksgiving season, and as we stick with the book of Psalms, maybe the thanksgiving psalms would be something good for us to look into together. And then, of course, the month of December, and I'm moving along quite quickly here, as we come into Advent season, we will have our Advent messages. But that's where we'll be going through the remainder of this year. And if you want just a little bit of a peek of next year, in the month of January, we're going to be doing through the winter months a character study on the person of Old Testament Joseph. That's where we're going to be going in the months ahead. Psalm 72, it's a royal psalm. Join me there if you will. Only has some 20 verses. 19 verse 20 is the postscript to it. We'll read that also. Let's look into God's word together, Psalm 72. Let's pray, and then we will see what the Spirit of God would show us in today's text. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Lord, you're the one who has brought us to your house today, this house of prayer, this house of praise, this house of worship. Lord, my prayer is as we look into this selected text of Scripture today, this ancient song, this 3,000-year-old song, yet still preserved for our reading, our understanding, and our application today. Lord, again, through the power of your Holy Spirit, the author of the sacred text, Lord, I just pray that you would move in our hearts and that we would have spiritual understanding. Lord, that you would quicken our spirits, that we would have comprehension of the text. Lord, that we would be in awe and wonder that you have revealed yourself to your people and you still reveal yourself to us this day through the written word. Oh, Lord, bless our time richly and the time that we have remaining this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, you might have caught glimpses of a funeral that was broadcast all over the world. It was the funeral of a monarch. Maybe you tuned in and saw parts of it. Maybe you tuned in and fascinated you. You watched the entirety of it. Maybe you are here today or listening online and you have seen none of it. Maybe you caught just a glimpse of it on the evening news, on maybe the headlines of the day. I heard one report this week that that particular funeral service and that which came before it were viewed by over 4 billion people. That's staggering. That's over half of the world's entire population. So one monarch passes from the scene, another monarch rises to the throne. This past week also saw prayers for the new monarch, prayers that were offered up on his behalf. One of them, for example, came from the office of the Vice President of the Methodist Conference of the United Kingdom. And this is what they prayed. It went like this: Creator God, we give thanks for the life of Her Most Gracious Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. We honor her life of service, built on the firm foundation of faith and an exemplary commitment to duty. At this challenging time for this nation, grant us words to speak when words are all we have, to ease the pain of those who mourn and to show our loving care. And it goes on, it says, we especially pray for King Charles III, that he might lean upon Christ, the only perfect word whose kingdom is love. We pray that God will enfold him and Christ will uphold him and the Holy Spirit will guide him in all things until all weeping has passed and flickering hope parts the shadows at last. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. This prayer was written and offered up and posted online by Anthony Boateng, who is the Vice President of the Methodist Conference in the UK. Another website, this one entitled EnglishCathedrals.com, offered up this very little but simple prayer. It went like this: Everlasting God, we pray for our new King. Bless his reign in the life of our nation. Help us work together so that truth and justice, harmony and fairness flourish among us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So prayers were offered up on behalf of a new monarch. Now, I must admit to you right from the get-go today that this was not my introductory comment or story for today's message. I'd written today's message a number of weeks ago. But I thought, in light of the things that unfolded this past week, This is an absolutely fascinating account as a lead in to Psalm 72. And the reason I say that is because as you look at the text with me today, and we're going to read the entirety of it in just a moment, Psalm 72 is a poem, it's a song about a new monarch who is now coming to the throne. The old monarch has passed. Prayers are being offered on behalf of the new monarch, sort of things that we saw happening this week. And this, in a very real way, was a coronation, a 3,000-year-old coronation song. And we still have it today for the next king in the Davidic dynasty. So that's what we're looking at today. Not a modern-day king of a modern nation, but rather the new Davidic king. And Psalm 72 would be sung, it would be brought out whenever a new Davidic king would take up the throne. So what we are going to be reading together here right now is very similar to events that happened this past week in a more modern and in a more modern sense. Alrighty? As we read through Psalm 72, these are the things we're going to be reading about. You'll see this. This is going to be part of the prayer. This is going to be part of the song in this inauguration, in this coronation psalm. The psalmist is going to be praying for justice. He's going to be praying for peace. He is going to be praying for long life and a long reign of the king. Long live the king. Probably heard that in song this week. It's about an extensive kingdom with expanded borders. It's about leadership over his kingdom. It's about God's blessing upon the nation. And they pray also for economic prosperity. Very similar to some of the little prayers that I just read to you a little bit earlier as we began this morning. You'll notice before I read Psalm 72, in the superscript at the very beginning, it says, of Solomon. There are a number of different interpretations of that. It might seem rather simple to us. This is a Solomonic psalm. Solomon is said to have written two of them, Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. Those are attributed to Solomon, and it could very well be. Other scholars think that it's written by David for his son Solomon. This is a psalm of Solomon. Yeah, possibly. Some think that Solomon was actually writing for his son who would come after him, Rehoboam. And some think that it is Solomon writing about himself, or maybe Solomon commissioned somebody to write this on behalf of himself. Whichever one chooses, the psalm still says what it says, and is still an inauguration, still a coronation psalm. Let's look at it together. Psalm 72. And the Word of God reads like this. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity. Some of your versions may say peace at that time. Let your mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like the rain that falls on mown grass, like showers that water the earth. Now remember, they're praying for the new monarch, the new king who just is now ascending to the throne. Verse 7. In his many days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all the kings bow down before him and the nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, and the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. Long live the king. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may the people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then the postscript to not only this psalm, but to book two of the Psalms. It says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Alrighty, what are we looking at here today? When this psalm was originally composed, as you see through what we read this morning, it sort of captures a very idyllic theme for Solomon's reign. It would have been read at, most likely, his coronation ceremony. And the fulfillment of these prayers or these requests that we have read, and there were many, seemed to have been very ideal. A scenario of a very perfect situation, but yet that was their prayer. So look at the text with me again, if you will. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 7. One of the things that they mentioned there is peace. Shalom. May there be peace during his reign. And indeed, peace did characterize Solomon's reign. As a matter of fact, that is his name, Shlomo. It means peace. Shalom. And he did have peace in his day during his reign. 1 Kings chapter 4, listen to verse 24. The text says, for he had dominion from all the region of the west of the Euphrates and Tishpa to Gaza over all the kings west of the Euphrates. Listen, and he had peace on all sides of him. The nation of Israel experienced years of peace during Solomon's reign. That was a part of the prayer of Psalm 72. Verse 8 mentions, look at verse 8 also. This mentions worldwide dominion. It talks about from the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea, from the Euphrates River. It says, to the ends of the earth. Now granted, Solomon did extend the boundaries of Israel. He did that. But they did not go to the ends of the earth. Friends, there's a day that's coming when a verse like this, for the monarch that is coming, whose reigns will extend to the ends of the earth, and his name is Jesus the Christ. That is why this is both a royal psalm, it's about the king, but it has messianic overtones, messianic implications. These things would be fulfilled in the days of Solomon, but they would be ultimately fulfilled in the days when Jesus comes again. We move on. Verses 9 through 11, it mentions tribes bowing down before the king. It mentions kings bringing tribute from the western reaches. Talks about Tarshish. That would be Spain. The southern reaches, Sheba and Seba, this would be southwestern Arabia. This would be parts of eastern Africa today. Kings from those lands would bring tribute to Solomon. Those things did happen. Verse 15 mentions gold from Sheba. And these are probably references to passages such as 1 Kings 4:21, where it says, they brought tribute and they served Solomon all the days of his life. And if you want to see really what Solomon's reign was like, you have to go to 1 Kings chapter 10, and it lays it out for you right over there. They would bring tribute to Solomon. The queen of Sheba would come. She brought gold, 1 Kings 10, verses 2 and 10. Tribute came from the kings of the west, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 15. Solomon even had a fleet of ships from Tarshish. That's Spain today. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 22. We read about that there. And every king brought articles of silver and gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, and mules, so much so year by year. That's 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 25. So in Psalm 72, we see this idyllic, almost near perfect scenario that's rehearsed for us in Psalm 72. And the psalmist is asking God to replicate this prayer in the life of this new king. That's what we got going on. It's an inauguration psalm. It's a coronation psalm. But there's something else you may have picked up as I read through it and as you listened along. Psalm 72, there was also an emphasis on what we call theocracy or godly character. You see, the king is supposed to be God's representative to the people. He's supposed to represent God's truth and God's word and the very person of God. God was the King of Kings, but the earthly king, he was God's representative to the people. We call it a theocracy. That's why verses 1 and 2 say, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. The human king is to rule with righteousness and injustice, and he is to demonstrate God's character to the people. Deuteronomy chapter 17 tells us that this human king must fear God. The human king was to study the scriptures, and the human king was to rule rightly. That's Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19. This is the coronation song. In verse 2, we saw that these people are not the king's people. These people are God's people. Verse 2, may he judge your people, Lord. May the earthly king judge your people with righteousness, and your poor people with justice. That was a part of the prayer. So the first opening verses nicely encapsulate for us theocracy. A human king representing a holy God in heaven, and he would be a servant to the people, and he was to demonstrate this godly lifestyle to them. He was to be God's representative. This is the essence of a theocracy. And God in heaven is without question the commander-in-chief, for sure, but the human king was to be his earthly representative. And it didn't matter who the earthly representative was. It could have been Moses. It could have been Joshua. Could have been one of the judges. Could have been one of their kings. Or it could have been some of the priests during the post-exilic period. Whoever were the leaders in the land at that time, the spiritual leaders, they were to emulate, they were to be God's representatives. Psalm 72, the earthly king. It's a coronation. It's a coronation. Him is what it is. So it doesn't matter who the earthly king is. We are all God's people. and he's the one who rules over us. And it doesn't matter today if you are a citizen of the USA or a citizen of the UAE, God is to be recognized as king. Whether one says they are Republican or Democrat, it really doesn't matter. God is king. It does not matter whether someone is privileged or poor. God is king. And of course, today in our land that we're very familiar with, we have abandoned that way of thinking. But it was to be his justice and his righteousness that had the highest authority, and their total allegiance was to be to him. An Old Testament scholar by the name of Hassel Bullock, Dr. Bullock puts it very well. He says this, listen, this is good. He says, while each of us identifies with a nation, we must always remember that our primary allegiance is not to a state, but to the Lord. We are Christians first, people of the Bible first and foremost. And when our nation turns its back on justice and God's way, then we need all the more to speak loudly and boldly for kingdom principles. We serve him first. And then the Davidic king was also one who would express godly character. We saw it in the text through social justice. Now, please hear me carefully here. I did not say, and I do not mean the social gospel. Not at all, but rather social justice. He is commissioned here to defend the poor, to deliver the needy, to crush the oppressor, to have pity on the weak and the needy, and to value life and blood, and to redeem people from oppression and violence. That's what the king was supposed to do. Now, let's move on here in the time I have remaining. That was Psalm 72. I got 15 minutes left. Some of you are probably wondering, okay, Pastor, that fascinating stuff. Did not know that about Psalm 72. Kind of makes a little bit of sense as I read through it now. Coronation hymn for a king 3,000 years ago. Wonderful. What in the world does this mean for me today? Thank you for asking. Let's talk about that together. Let's talk about what this 3,000-year-old coronation psalm might mean for us today in some very practical modern-day thinking. Let me share several things with you. Number one, did you notice from verse 2 what the people were called? The prayer was, may he judge the king, may he, the earthly king, judge your people, you, God. May the earthly king judge your people with righteousness, your people, and let your poor and your poor with justice. This was not the king's people. This is God's people. Why? Because everything belongs to him. The earthly king was just a vice regent in Israel. Today, we would talk in terms, New Testament-wise, we will talk in terms of stewardship, right? All things belong to God. We are today, for a while, for this time, stewards of that which he has blessed us with and given to us. I think this is in reference to such things as our families, our homes, our bank accounts. Everything belongs to God. And when you come from that perspective, you view things a bit differently. For example, on a Sunday morning, when we pass the offering plate as an act of worship, which it is, you are not putting in your money. You are putting in God's money. Just simply returning it to him. You are a steward of it for a while. You are a steward of God's resources. your families, your children, your grandchildren, they all belong to Him. For this time and for a while, we have been given the privilege of raising them, of loving them, of nurturing them in the things of the Lord. But everything belongs to Him. He's the owner of all things. So we ask the question, how are we doing there if all things do belong to Him? And we begin to realize this and genuinely believe this. Maybe terms such as me or my or mine start to become excluded from our vocabulary. All things belong to Him. Everything does. And part of the prayer in verse 2 of Psalm 72 is, may He judge your people with righteousness, your poor with justice. Everything belonged to the Lord. Today we call it stewardship. Another thing that comes to mind in this psalm is it's a very idyllic prayer. It's praying for an almost perfect situation. And we do know that during Solomon's reign, he started off very well. He really did. There was peace during his time. We know that he extended the borders of Israel during his time. But Solomon did not end as well as he began. Because we read about Solomon as we continue in the Solomonic storyline, that Solomon loved many foreign women, married many foreign wives, and the text says, and they led his heart astray from the Lord. That was a part of Solomon's life. Though Psalm 72 is a coronation hymn for a new king, Psalm 72 also looks forward to that ideal king, that perfect king, who is still yet to come, whose name is Jesus. And the borders of His kingdom will be massive. They will be extensive. Verse 8, look at your Bibles again. It says, to the ends of the earth. No Israelite king ever had that. But when King Jesus comes, He will rule to the ends of the earth. Verse 11, all the nations of the earth, all the nations of the earth will serve Him. No Israelite king ever had that. This is kingdom language. But when Jesus comes, verse 11 will be fulfilled in Him perfectly. And the nations of the earth will serve Him. This happens when Jesus Christ comes again at His second advent and establishes and sets up His earthly rule. That's Revelation chapter 19 and 20. We read about it there when Christ comes again. This is why this is a royal psalm, but it's also a messianic psalm. Jesus is coming again. He will establish His rule, His worldwide rule, and it will be established with justice and righteousness in Psalm 72. This 3,000-year-old coronation hymn will be fulfilled perfectly in Him at that time. Jesus is coming again. And when He reigns, the glory of God will be revealed like never before. And Jesus is coming again. Number three. Thirdly, I would say this. This old broken world in which we live in today, this godless, ever-growing godless culture of which we see growing around us every day, is setting the stage, prior to when Christ comes again now, is setting the stage for this coming man of perdition, this coming Antichrist figure. This will happen before Psalm 72 is fully and perfectly accomplished in Jesus. But the things that we see happening today, all around us every day, is setting the stage for this coming world ruler, which will then set the stage for Psalm 72 at a time on God's eschatological calendar. Have you noticed just in our lifetime, just over the last half a dozen years, there is this growing dissatisfaction, discontentment with almost every part of life. You don't have to spend much time on a highway to discover people are upset. You don't have to spend much time in the grocery store or in line at the gas station to discover people are upset all the time. Many of them are upset with elected officials and elected leaders. And the whole world seems to have lost its mind on so many different fronts. And people are angry. Inflation is out of control. People are struggling to make ends meet. Can you see now, does it make sense now, that when a deceptive, deceiving liar comes to the fore with supposedly answers to people's concerns and questions and the things that they're upset about, and he comes with his smooth tongue with solutions to worldwide problems, and he talks about peace, and he confirms a covenant with Israel, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And he speaks great things, and he has great boasts. That's Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. You will come with a smooth tongue. And he comes speaking astonishing things. That's Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. And he comes, can you believe it, doing miraculous signs and wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and following. And he comes with deceit. Can you see how people will follow this? They're so upset with their leaders. And not just in our country, but have you been seeing what's happening in Iran today? You see what's happening in Russia today. They're upset with their leaders. See what's happening in our country today. So many are so upset with their leaders that when the false one comes, it's so easy to see how he will just fit right into place with his deceit and his lies, and people will follow him. That's going to come. Today, Europeans, they're wondering how they're going to heat their homes this winter. We read of worldwide crop failures. In some places, there's way too much rain. In other places, not enough rain. And that will affect our grocery prices next year. And the news of the fertilizer shortages. And the world is crying for a leader with solutions and with answers. And the Antichrist is going to come in and he's going to fit in just over there. And when the church is gone, when we have gone home to glory, and the liar appears, the son of destruction, the man of perdition, you can see how a lost world will just follow along. Isn't he so wonderful? Doesn't he speak marvelous things? He has answers to all and solutions to all of our problems. And they will follow along unto their own destruction. At the very end of that, that will come first. That seven-year time period, on what the Old Testament calls the day of the Lord, or the time of Jacob's trouble. In the New Testament, we refer to it as, well, the book of Revelation, as the time of tribulation and great tribulation. After that, Jesus is coming again. And after that is when Psalm 72 is going to be established perfectly, and it will be fulfilled perfectly. And all the kings of the earth will come, and they will worship him. And his nations will be from sea to sea and from coastline to coastline. It will be worldwide. Psalm 72, a 3,000-year-old coronation hymn. But today, modern day, we can find implications and applications for a text such as this. And I guess the big one is simply this, dear friends. Our Jesus is coming back again. And he will do what this psalm says he will do. And lastly, because I am out of time, let me simply say this. And I want to encourage you in this. In these days in which we live today, And when you leave this place today, in this parking lot today, you will be engulfed in it, in living color. I want to encourage you today in this growing godlessness, ever-growing injustice and unrighteousness and lawlessness, and lawlessness even amongst our nation's leaders. In the midst of all of it, you remain steadfast. You remain faithful. You remain embracing the truth in a culture that wants to redefine truth, in a culture that wants to redefine and rewrite history, in a culture who wants to redefine genders. If you can believe that, this is what we've come to. You hold to the truth, unashamed of the truth. Man is not the final arbiter of truth. Truth is what is determined by this volume and the God who has revealed it unto us. Stay strong. Be courageous. And you be courageous even if you are the only Christian in the room. You stand firm. Even if you are the upstream Christian in the downstream world. Even when you stand alone, stand strong, be faithful, and know it will be worth it all. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us, he says, "And do not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see what drawing near? That day drawing near. As you see that day drawing near." Folks, I do not know when that day will be. I do not know. When the voice of the archangel calls and the trumpet sound blows, I do not know that day. But this I do know. This one said who is coming for us, he is faithful and true, and he will do as his word says. And secondly, he has given us signs to look for with regards to his second advent. Not the rapture, but with regards to the second advent. And it's like you've been to a play before, or maybe a high school play, or and the curtain's down. You can't see what's going on the other side of the curtain. But you can hear voices, a whisper. Psh, 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 psh. There's something going on behind the curtain. You can see shadows moving around. Maybe they're moving furniture from one location to another. You don't know when the curtain's coming up, but you know something's going on behind that curtain. Folks, there are things going on right now. And the stage is being set. And our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he does, he will rule all nations, and all kings of the earth will come, pay tribute, and worship him. He's coming again, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise his name. Psalm 72. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you for an ancient song. And though we are far and long separated from ancient coronation ceremonies, we know that within the sacred texts are, well, there are words for us today. Lord, I pray that we would be found often in your word, especially in days such as this. Lord, encourage us in the truth of your word. May we be found faithful to our soon coming King. And we look forward to that day when we will see him face to face. We will know him as he is. And Lord, we know that you have promised a crown of righteousness to those who love your appearing. Lord, may we love your appearing and live, and may we live as if it might even happen today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your good attention this morning, folks. I thank you for that. And find your hymnal with me, and let's sing together. 239. Let's just do the first and the third verses that we find there. 239 in our hymnal. And for those of you who are joining us at home, if you are still with me at this time, we're going to be singing together the hymn entitled, Jesus is Coming Again. It's 239 in our hymnals. 1 and 3, let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's worship. You along your way this morning with just the red print in my Bibles of Revelation chapter 22. Red print only. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. God bless you all, dear friends. Have a blessed, blessed day in the Lord. You are dismissed.